Here in Luke chapter 18, these verses we have read together, we have the wonderful account of a beggar who believed. A beggar who believed. Matthew, in his account of this portion, actually tells us that there were two beggars, and both of them believed. And here in Luke's gospel, Luke simply focuses his attention on one of them. And the faith of this beggar in Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 43, is quite remarkable. Given the little that this man knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, given the little that he had heard of the gospel, the little scripture that he knew, the fact that he was blind and wasn't able to read the word of God for himself, and the little concerning the testimony of Christ that he had heard, nevertheless, it was enough to convince him that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. He didn't have the privileges that many people had in his day and generation. He certainly did not have the privileges that we have this evening. And some of you in the meeting who are not converted yet have had great privilege. Maybe being brought up in a Christian home, sent along to children's meetings and Sunday school classes, gospel missions and gospel meetings, friends and loved ones who know the gospel and have shared that gospel with you, and in your hand tonight you've got the entirety of the Word of God, and you've been wonderfully blessed and wonderfully privileged. And yet here's a man, a beggar no less, who didn't have many of the privileges that we enjoy tonight, but nevertheless, he believed. And can I ask you tonight very earnestly, and yet very sincerely, why is it that you yourself have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Knowing what you know, having the privileges that you have been given, it beggars belief that tonight you're not yet converted yourself. And yet here we have this beggar who believed. And I just want to speak for a little while tonight upon this beggar. We believe that his name was Bartimaeus. And I want to speak tonight for a little while upon beggar's belief. Because that's what we have in this portion of Scripture. The belief of this beggar. The beggar's belief. Three very simple things again that I want you to consider. Very practical and simple lessons from this account of the beggar's belief. And the first thing is seen in verse number 35, very simply, the man. The man or the beggar. It came to pass that he, the Lord Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, and a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. A certain man. And there you have introduced to us tonight the man, the beggar, the blind man. And you'll notice concerning this man the place or the locality in which he was found. It says there in verse 35 that he was residing in Jericho. Now Jericho was one of the old cities that's found in the Bible. Jericho was once destroyed by Joshua and the small army. And they defeated Jericho, and the walls of Jericho fell down, and God gave them a great victory. And yet Jericho was built all over again in a location not far from the remains of the ancient city. And that's the city Jericho in which this man lived. It was the same city in which lived the tax collector Zacchaeus that we read about in the next verses in chapter number 19. And yet how different these two men are. And yet their need is fundamentally the same. One was rich, one was poor. One was a tax collector, the other was a beggar. One had all of his faculties. He was able to look at the Lord Jesus Christ with his physical eyes. The other one was blind. One was able to climb up into a sycamore tree. The other one had to content himself lying by the wayside. And yet their fundamental need for Jesus Christ in their life was exactly the same. You see, the common denominator of humanity is the need to know God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're a rich man, a poor man, a beggar man, or a king, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Whether you're at the top of the social ladder, or at the bottom, or whatever spectrum of society that you come from tonight, the great need that we have is the same need that this beggar had, and the same need that Zacchaeus had, to be saved, to be converted, to have Jesus Christ in your life and in your home. And you'll notice more explicitly about the place where this man was found, the locality. Verse 35 again says that he sat by the wayside begging. This man was living on the periphery of society. This man, it seems, did not have a whole host of friends. This man wasn't lifted up by the establishment and brought along with them. It seems that this individual has been left behind by the world, has largely been forgotten about, and largely speaking, is ignored. He sat by the wayside. That is to say, people passed him by. As people were going about their business, about their duties, maybe looking for pleasure, out with their families, traveling to and from their homes, this beggar was just laid at the wayside. He didn't fit in. He was just unloved by this world. Like David, he could have said, "No man cared for my soul." He was a beggar, and people were quite happy to leave him to be a beggar. He sat by the wayside, and people were quite happy to leave him sitting by the wayside. But nevertheless, it was exactly this type of individual that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save. He did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. Notice secondly concerning the man, the person. If we think about the place, and that was his locality, it says there was a certain man, and this introduces us to the person or to the somebody. He was a certain man. And so whenever it tells us that he was a certain man, it seems that the Spirit of God is emphasizing this man above all others. There was a certain man. A certain somebody. And it is clear from the parallel passage in Mark's Gospel chapter 10 and verse number 46 that this man was none other than Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, 46, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." And so this man, this person, this somebody was blind Bartimaeus. And friends tonight, let us not forget that he was a person. And he was a somebody. He was some mother's son. He was a certain man, known to God, who had a real soul, who was born into this world, who as a little boy had hopes and dreams and desires and aspirations one day to be something and to be someone, but he just became known as the blind beggar of Jericho, just living on the periphery of society, on the periphery of the city, just lying there by the side of the way, and yet he had a name. He was Bartimaeus. He had an identity. He was somebody. And we ought in this world, if we're Christian people, never to look at people that are down and out, whose lives are ruined and destroyed maybe as a direct result of their sin, or perhaps the direct result of somebody else's sin, or maybe that's just the way life has worked out for them, and if they're on the wayside, and they're begging, and they're dead in sins, and they're unclean, and they're just like Bartimaeus, we need to realize that that is a certain man. That is a certain person. A somebody with an identity who was named by his father and named by his mother, and at one time in his life was loved. But the love of this world has given up on men like Bartimaeus, and nevertheless, he is a real person. A real somebody. And maybe tonight you look at your life and you think, well, I'm just a nobody. The world doesn't take notice of me. The world has broken my heart. Family, friends, loved ones, they've left me behind. I've been left to one side. I've maybe been left in the scrap heap. And maybe tonight you think that even God Himself has given up on you. But nevertheless, you are a person. You are a somebody with an identity and with a real, true, and living soul. And God in heaven knows all about you. God knows your locality. He knows the place that you're in tonight. Maybe not even just the geographical place that you live in, Coleraine or some other town or hamlet or village or townland. And not just the fact that you're sitting in a meeting like this. But the Lord knows exactly where you are in your heart, in your mind. And He knows exactly where you are in the journey of life. He knows exactly where you've come from. And He also knows where you're going. And the Lord is concerned about your place, your locality. He's concerned about the person, the somebody. And He's also concerned about the problem or the malady. Now, we're not sure where Bartimaeus grew up. We know now that he's living in Jericho. We are told that he was blind. We don't know whether he was born blind or there was some terrible accident in his life that rendered him blind. We don't know if he was malnourished and that caused his sight to leave him. But we do know that he was blind, he had a problem, and this was his malady. He was blind. He couldn't see the light of day. He couldn't look up into the heavens at night and see the stars and see the moon. He couldn't see the rising of the sun and the setting thereof again. He couldn't look into the face of a passerby and identify them as somebody that he grew up with. This man was blind. He couldn't watch the birds. He couldn't behold the flowers. He couldn't see the wonderful changes that the seasons brought into the world that was round about him. He was blind. He lived in absolute darkness. And so it is again with the natural man. You see, we are all a lot more like Bartimaeus than we care to admit or believe. We might feel like him sometimes, lonely, forgotten, left behind. But spiritually speaking, we're just as blind as Bartimaeus. The Bible would tell us that the God of this world hath blinded the very minds of them that believe not. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse number 18 tells us that the natural man has the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that's why, naturally speaking, you can never bring somebody to behold the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. In other words, unless a man is born again and the Spirit of God opens that person's eyes, he will never, never see in the spiritual sense. Bartimaeus lived in a world of darkness. And we know that naturally speaking, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. As the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, with all his wealth and with all his religion and with all his spiritual insight, was still blind. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. And then he went on to say that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And there are none so blind as those who do not want to see. And the sad reality is that there are many in our world tonight and they just do not want to see. They would rather be like the proverbial ostrich and bury their heads in the sand than to see what they really are. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is like a mirror and it shows us what we really are. And whenever we behold our natural face in a glass, and we see things that maybe need to be fixed and maybe need to be tended to and seen to, so it is with the Word of God. It shows us what we are. But man, in his blindness and in his darkness, does not really want to see what he's like in the eyes of God and how the Word of God paints him, and so he would rather live in darkness. Nicodemus could not see the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ as he passed by. And man in his sin has no ability to see the loathsomeness of his sin or the loveliness of the Savior. And then something else about this man is his poverty or his bankruptcy. Notice what it says in our text there in verse number 35. He sat by the highway side begging. He was poor. He had nothing. He was blind, and probably the reason for his bankruptcy, the reason for his poverty, was a direct result, perhaps, of his blindness. He had nothing to subsist on. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't get employment because he was blind. And he had resigned himself to that predicament. And there he is, and he's a beggar, and he eked out his living by begging. You see, in Jericho, there was no welfare system. There was nothing set up for people like this who's been dealt a hard hand in the game of life. And yet this man was living in poverty, living in bankruptcy. He had no resources to better his situation. And left in this situation, he would just resign himself to the fact that this is how life is going to be. This is how I am going to die. And yet we think of man spiritually as well, a lot more like Bartimaeus than he cares to admit, because not only are we in a place like Bartimaeus, a locality, not only are we like a person like Bartimaeus, a somebody, not only do we have a problem like Bartimaeus, a malady, but we also have poverty like Bartimaeus, bankruptcy. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, one of the great texts in the New Testament, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Mankind, spiritually speaking, is bankrupt. And yet the gospel is for those who acknowledge their poverty. "He that hath no money, yea, let him come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." As the Lord Jesus Christ passed by Bartimaeus, there was nothing that Bartimaeus could offer to him or give to him to try and earn or merit or purchase favor. He had got absolutely nothing. No gifts, no talent, no ability, no money, no gold, nothing. There he is, and that's what he is. He's a blind beggar. And so it is tonight with us. We might be respectable people. We might be well-dressed. We might be well-meaning. We might live in a part of the world that's relatively prosperous. And yet, just like the church at Laodicea, they boasted that they were rich and increased with goods, and they had need of nothing. And the funny thing about Laodicea, as a city, they made this famous eye salve, this eye ointment that helped people like Bartimaeus who were blind or had problems with their eyes. And yet, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to that church and the people in Laodicea, he says, "I know thy works." He says, "Thou art lukewarm. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." They didn't even know it, that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They thought that they could see, but they couldn't see. They thought that they were wealthy, but they were poor. They thought that they were clothed, but they were naked. And so it is with man in our world tonight. Everybody likes to think that they are somebody. And yet, if we're honest tonight, were a lot like Bartimaeus. But it beggars belief that Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven to come into the world for people like Bartimaeus. God is interested in men like this. God is interested, and we always say this, and it bears repetition, God is interested in the individual. Even the individual that the world has forgotten about. So in verse number 35, you have the man. And then from verse 36 through to verse number 39, attention turns from the man to the multitude. Look at verse number 36. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. There in verse number 36, you have the press, the people, the multitude, and that provokes from the heart of Bartimaeus an inquiry. He hears the press or the multitude pass by, and so he makes this inquiry. He asks this question, what does it mean? Why is everybody today in Jericho so excited? Why all this noise? Why all this excitement? Why all this hustle and bustle? You see, as the Lord Jesus Christ was passing through Jericho, a large crowd had congregated around to see him, and Bartimaeus could hear the crowd and concluded that they are excited about something or someone. Evidently, although I can't see it, although I don't understand it, this crowd today is excited. And there's a hustle and bustle, and there's a bit of a buzz about Jericho, and it provokes an inquiry, what's all the excitement about? And I think the people of God tonight could learn a very valuable lesson from this. Here was a crowd of people, and they were following after the Lord Jesus Christ. They were congregating around about him, and the crowd got excited about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was there in their midst. And you know something tonight? Maybe our town would be a better place. Maybe our land would be a better place. Maybe the ungodly would be in a better place if only the people who congregate around the Lord Jesus Christ and profess to follow him would get a little bit more excited and a little bit more enthusiastic and a little bit more sincere, and begin to talk about and sing about and shout about the Lord Jesus. Because if this crowd hadn't been excited, and if this crowd were not speaking, blind Bartimaeus would never have heard and would never have asked this question about what it all meant. Salvation begins with consideration. And so as you consider the multitude, you have the press, which led to an inquiry. And then in verse number 37, you have a passerby which led to an opportunity. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Somebody was passing by. Somebody very special, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as this crowd says, Jesus of Nazareth. And so like Bartimaeus, Jesus had an identity, and he also came from a locality, Jesus of Nazareth, and he was passing by the friend of publicans and sinners. And I wonder, was that something that Bartimaeus had heard? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? And he had heard that the religious crowd were pointing the scorning finger of accusation against him, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And as Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was the passerby that day, he thought to himself, what a glorious and what a wonderful opportunity for somebody like me. The friend of sinners is passing by. The healer of the sick and the healer of the lame is passing by, and he's within earshot of my voice. Now our Lord tonight has a special interest in the poor and in the blind. In fact, back there in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 7, we're told something of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. The Lord says in verse number 16 of that chapter, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Could it be that somehow blind Bartimaeus had heard that the Messiah, whenever he would come, would do that very thing, and here he is, and he's passing by? You know, I love that parable, Luke chapter 14, where it says there was a certain man that made a great supper and sent the servant out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And the servant went out at supper time, and he said those very things, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. And then he went back to the master, and he showed his master these things. And then the master said, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And it's showing us that Jesus Christ cares about the people that are forgotten by society. And he came not just to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. People that could understand and were well aware of their need. And yet, sadly, many people don't avail themselves of this opportunity. And it beggars belief to me, at any rate, that there are people in our world tonight, and they're miserable, and they're lost, and they're dissatisfied, and they're convicted about sin, and they live in fear, and it beggars belief that they will not and do not call upon the name of the Lord and avail themselves of this opportunity. And here tonight, you've been given another opportunity, and you've passed by many opportunities before, and you've lived without Christ, and that beggars belief that you know the gospel. And you might even believe the gospel in your head, but you've never responded in your heart. And then not only is there a press that leads to an inquiry, and a passerby that brings an opportunity, but moving on to verse number 38, there is a plea by way of entreaty. It says, he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You have to like Bartimaeus. You have to give him credit where credit is due. He knew his need. He knew that first and foremost he needed mercy. And not only that, he wasn't afraid to confess that need and in front of a great multitude of people to cry out publicly, audibly to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for help. There are many people that admit their need inwardly, but they're not willing to confess that need outwardly, much less willing to cry unto God for mercy. In fact, they're content to live in their sin and live in their spiritual poverty. All the while, Jesus Christ in meetings like this is nearer than hands or feet. And it beggars belief that they will not call upon the Lord for mercy. You see, a person perhaps who does not see their need is hopeless. Hopeless. If you don't see your need, you're hopeless. Person will never be persuaded to go to the doctor or go through the surgeon's scalpel and under anesthetic and get an operation if they're not convinced and convicted about their need. If they feel fine and they're content, they'll never go to the doctor. And so it is with the sinner. Unless they see they realize their blindness and their poverty, and where they're at in life. And unless they're convinced of that and convicted of that, they will never cry out unto the Lord for mercy. Jesus Christ is passing by. Bartimaeus is made aware of that, and he cries out. He makes this plea. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to be in the midst of his people. By the Spirit of God, he's here tonight, and he's passing by. And if you could but see your need and realize your need and call upon the Lord for mercy, you would be saved right now. And yet still, perhaps you're not willing to do that. Then if you look again at the multitude, we see them again in verse number 39. And there's a put down, which leads to importunity from Bartimaeus. Look at what happens. He cries out, verse 38, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they, the multitude which went on before, rebuked him. They put him down. They told him to hold his peace and be quiet. And yet it says, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The put down led to opportunity. Bartimaeus, sit there and be quiet. And he's thinking in his heart, no, I'll not be quiet because I want what this man can give. I want this passerby to stop and to have mercy on me and to meet me at the point of need. And here's a multitude of people and they say, Bartimaeus, forget about it. Be quiet. Don't make a fool of yourself. Don't be such an embarrassment and such an indictment to your city. This man is a man that's held in high esteem and you're making a fool of yourself, and they put him down. And you know, the world will put you down. Maybe that's what you're afraid of. And you're afraid to call upon the Lord for salvation because of what the world might think. But the more the world puts this man down, the more he cries out unto God for mercy. How insensitive this multitude was, both to the needs that Bartimaeus had and also to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ to meet him at the point of need. I remember listening many years ago to a cassette tape, I think it was, of the late pastor Willie Mullen. And he spoke about a meeting, I think it was in Queen's University, speaking to a great number of people that were gathered together, sharing the gospel with them. And he said, suddenly, halfway through the address, halfway through the sermon, a man stood up in the meeting and he shouted out, Mr. Mullen, I want to be saved right now. And people looked at him and they got embarrassed. And Mr. Mullen says, I can tell you after the meeting, I'll spend time with you after the meeting. And he says, Mr. Mullen, I'm not sitting down until I get saved. And right there in that meeting, before a multitude of people, Pastor Mullen led that man to faith in Jesus Christ. And he wasn't afraid of the multitude. He wasn't afraid of what people would think. He stood up in the meeting and he asked, how can somebody like me be saved? Oh, we could do with a little bit more of that in a respectable church meetings and church services. If we had people in the meetings like Bartimaeus who realized their need and weren't afraid to cry out publicly and ask for that need to be met. He cried out so much the more. I love it. He was so earnest and so sincere, and he didn't care what people thought. He had died to public opinion. So you've got the man, then you've got the multitude, and then from verse number 40 down to verse number 43, you've got the miracle. The man, the multitude, and the miracle. And the scene that unfolds before us, it beggars belief. Here's a beggar. Here's a multitude that don't really care. Here's a Savior that does care. Here's a multitude telling the man to be quiet. And the more they tell him to be quiet, the more he shouts out. And you see there the miracle. Verse number 40. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. There we have a precept. He gave a commandment to this crowd. And that shows us our Lord's sympathy. Man cries out. And the Lord says to the multitude that are following him, bring that man to me. A precept, a commandment that shows us our Lord's sympathy. Christ encourages poor beggars. And you say tonight, well, that's what I am spiritually speaking. I'm a beggar. I'm blind. Would the Lord save somebody like me? Yes, he would. In fact, he gives you all of the encouragement in the world to come. The crowd would have Bartimaeus keep his mouth shut. But our Lord Jesus Christ would have Bartimaeus brought to him. Oh, the love and the compassion that Jesus Christ has for sinful men. He bids sinners come to him. Come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And praise God, something now is happening in the heart of this multitude. They had the wrong perception of Christ. They thought he'll not be interested in a blind beggar like Bartimaeus. And because that's what they thought, they told him to be quiet. But the more Bartimaeus prayed and pleaded with Christ, the Lord turned around and says to the multitude, bring that man to me. And they go and they bring Bartimaeus to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should be ever the business of the followers of the Lord to bring people like Bartimaeus to a place where Jesus Christ can speak to them and touch them and they can hear the word of God. Christians tonight in the meeting, we need to be busy. Because the Lord would have us to do what this crowd did and bring people that are blinded by the God of this world, people that are bankrupt in sin, and bring them to the Lord Jesus. And if they're not willing to come, be it on their own heads, but let it never be said of us that we never tried to bring poor and needy sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that beggars belief as well. The apathy of the masses who follow the Savior for sinners like Bartimaeus. So there's a precept before this miracle that shows us our Lord's sympathy. And then there's a proposition that shows us the great simplicity of the gospel. Verse number 41. Bartimaeus was come near. Jesus asked him, verse 41, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he still asks this today. To precious souls, as they're brought to him, what do you want me to do for you? And he's testing now the heart of Bartimaeus. And it's very, very simple. Bartimaeus gives the proposition, Lord. And there he acknowledges the lordship of Christ, that I may receive my sight. And he expresses himself simply, audibly, and intelligently that this is what he wants from the Lord Jesus. And this is, of course, one of the Lord's great sign miracles. And if you're ever to be saved, you need to express yourself simply and intelligently before the Lord. And call upon the Lord and ask the Lord to open your eyes. And ask the Lord for mercy. And ask the Lord to save you. And then you'll notice in verse number 42, and we're just working through the portion verse by verse. Verse number 42, there's a pronouncement that shows us our Lord's authority. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. A pronouncement. Receive thy sight. And immediately he received his sight. You know, it's lovely to think that the very first face that Bartimaeus beheld, maybe since his birth or since his blindness came upon him, the first face that he beheld whenever the Lord opened his eyes was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he beheld the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lord made this great pronouncement. Receive thy sight. And maybe tonight you need to take a good look at the Lord Jesus. And see his loveliness and his sufficiency to save. And then he also makes another pronouncement. Thy faith hath saved thee. And there you have the beggar's belief that led to the beggar's salvation. And it was faith that saved him. And so it is tonight, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And here's a man who's got nothing, and he's a little bit of faith, and he just lays that faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord says, Bartimaeus, your faith saved you. And he's wonderfully saved in a moment of time. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved? Have you ever put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Are you trusting Him tonight? Are you really saved tonight in the meeting? Are you willing, like Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, to exercise faith, to believe in the Lord Jesus, and to be wonderfully converted? And then the story ends in verse number 43 with praise, or with a eulogy. Immediately he received his sight and followed Him, glorifying God. And then it says, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Immediately he received his sight. Immediately his sins were forgiven. Immediately he was saved. And subsequently from that, he rose up from the wayside and got onto the highway that we read about and began following the Lord Jesus. He was not only on the highway that led in and out of Jericho, but now he's on the highway of holiness that leads to heaven. And he's rejoicing all the way. You know old Billy Bray, we thought about him last Sunday night at our youth rally. Whenever he was converted, he became one of the happiest men in England. And his favorite word was the word glory. And used to sing and dance and shout and get on in the eyes of the world like a maniac. But he had something that the world could never give him. And he had been wonderfully saved and wonderfully delivered. And they used to rebuke him for his joy and for what they thought was irreverence, but really it was the joy of the Lord in his soul. And he says, you can put me in a barrel, you can nail the lid shut, and I'll shout hallelujah through the bunghole. And if we had somebody like that tonight in our meeting, we would think he was crazy. But here's a man, and he follows the Lord, glorifying God like the man sitting outside of the temple in the opening chapters of the book of Acts. And whenever the Lord raised him up, he went walking and leaping and praising God. The Bible says that David danced before the Lord. Do you ever get excited about your salvation? David says, the Lord hath put a new song in my mouth. He didn't say many people shall hear it. He says many people shall see it. If they're not willing to listen, they'll see it in my life. And they too will come to praise and to glorify the Lord. Some of you tonight may be getting more excited about the football than you do about faith in Jesus Christ. More excited about soccer than about salvation. More excited about a goal than about God. I don't know if you've seen them bouncing up and down, the Northern Ireland fans and the television screens, and they were going absolutely daft. You know, attention seekers, if ever there was such a thing. And there they are, and they're bouncing up and down the sands, and they're singing, and they're shouting, and they're glad. And there they are. And yet we sit in our churches, and we're so dour and so mundane, and we talk about salvation as if it's a drudgery, and we talk about the Bible as if it's a burden, and we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as if it's a chore to follow Him. And here's a man, and he's following the Lord. Is he sad? No, he's glad. He's happy. We sing, He has made me glad, but are we really glad? Here's a man who's praising God, and he's excited. And it's not wrong to shout hallelujah and praise the Lord and get a little bit excited at a meeting. It would do us a lot of good. And it would do the world good as well. Jesus Christ is passing through. Here's a man that gets reality and gets a little bit of joy and a little bit of excitement. And now the crowd that has somehow lost their joy and has begun to rebuke this man, as they see what Jesus Christ has done for him, they get excited all over again. And if we could see people like Bartimaeus in our town converted, men and women who are blind by the God of this world, living in spiritual bankruptcy, if we could bring people like that to the feet of the Lord Jesus and let Him do the saving, I would suggest to you tonight that we would get a little bit excited again. And perhaps we could do with getting a little bit of revival and joy in our hearts again. Jesus Christ was passing that way. And Bartimaeus got excited. And then he got converted. And then he entered into a life of discipleship. Just an old beggar's belief. And it's the same beggar's belief that you need if you're to enter into newness of life as well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.